And what do you do? Because you understand the power of the blood. And that blood cleanses the room. And the presence of the sin that is in the air disappears. There is an element of that. Now you cannot do it all over the world. You can only do it within the domain. Within your domain. Your dominion. An area which is rightfully yours at a particular time. If you own your own house, that's the place you are. But if you sit on a public bus, cannot claim it, it's not yours. But as long as you're sitting in that bus, you can claim that the atmosphere and the pool of gravity of sin will be cancelled. So that everyone's thoughts in that bus will be turned towards God. So that's what I call an application of power of the blood. Now, Pentecostals have always applied by applying the blood. I plead the blood on the bus, right? And the poor bus is covered with the blood. Wonder how the driver sits. It's not just what you say. It's what you understand and receive on your inside. If you can see it, it's yours. All you have to do is just thank God and it's there. You don't have to always necessarily plead the blood. And so all I have to do is, I don't go around the hotel room putting the blood on the pillows, blood on the, you know, blood on everywhere and in the toilets and on the towels. Who knows who has used those towels before? So pray over them, kikabajikabariya. And lay hands with the blood everywhere. You know, you don't have to do that. All you have to do is lift up your hands and worship God. And understand that in your domain, the cleansing power of the blood fills the air. And the atmosphere of sin is cancelled. While and as long as you are there. Well, it's a powerful truth which we are not going to touch on. We got 1 John to cover. Right. Better go back before we run out of time. 1 John chapter 1. The reason I talk about that is that how we enter into the light, there is only two keys. The key is the blood and fellowship. And if you feel in your Christian life you're weak, join up to another Christian who is strong. There are two keys there that is given to us how to get into the light. John is a very practical author. He tells us how, besides telling us what. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 7, he says, if we walk in the light as He is, we have fellowship with one another. And he's talking about that kind of fellowship that comes as we are in the light. People who desire to walk in the light. And in the right fellowship, in the right place, and understanding the power of the blood. And that brings us into a realm of light. And then as we walk into truth, in chapter 2, there is only one primary key, and that is in verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. So, in the second area here, on truth, we have received an instrument in our spirits called a truth perceiver. The world has a truth detector. We have a truth perceiver. And it's not made of human natural instruments. It is in the spirit realm. Something on our inside can recognize truth. And if we want to discover how to keep the word and be able to hold fast to it, we need to allow that person on our innermost being, the anointing within that has come into our lives when we were born again, to rise up. Remember that in truth, Jesus said He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way we can understand and enter truth or keep truth unless you got the spirit of truth. For truth is a spirit. It's a spiritual force. And so in 1 John chapter 2 verse 27, it says there is an anointing within. So how do we walk in the light? Through fellowship and through the blood of the Lamb. How do we walk in truth? Through the anointing inside us. Now that anointing on the inside is something that the disciples received too. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Jesus has promised that the Holy Spirit will come down on the disciples. But even before the Holy Spirit came down, in John chapter 20, He did a very strange thing. John chapter 20. And verse 22. And He has already been resurrected. In verse 22, Jesus said, when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." There is something that came into their life in John 20, verse 22. If you don't take it literally, then you will be taking it like what some people do. They say, "Oh, that's just Jesus acting." What do you mean, Jesus acting? Oh, Jesus was just wanting them to feel how the Holy Spirit will be when He comes. If that is so, Jesus would have said, when the Holy Spirit comes, this is how it will be like. Jesus wouldn't be telling them, receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So, we know that they received something. A measure, not the same, not the full measure like in the book of Acts chapter 2. But they received something of the Holy Spirit. Some measure of the Holy Spirit into their life. And the only point of time that you could tie it with another gospel is in Luke chapter 24. Gospel of Luke 24. And we are looking here at verse 44-45. Then He said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And verse 45. And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Something happened to them that day. He opened something on their inside. He touched something in them. And from that day onwards, they understood the Bible. And their Bible was only the Old Testament. From that day onwards, they understood the Bible in ways they never understood before. All the jigsaw puzzles just fall together every time they look at the Bible. Peter, even before the Holy Spirit came, in the book of Acts chapter 1, started quoting scriptures to fulfill. He had a perception of what scriptures were relevant to their times. So something had happened on their inside. They had received what I call an anointing. And it's not an anointing upon. It's an anointing within. It's an anointing within to teach them scriptures, to teach them truth. The purpose of the anointing within is to teach them truth. And if every believer were to be taught how to tend on that, they will be very powerful believers. The anointing that is on their inside, which they can tap upon, that they can draw on. The anointing within, He says in 1 John 2:27, the anointing within will teach you and concerning all things. Notice what he talks about in the anointing within in verse 27. Teaches you concerning all things. The word all things covers spiritual things and natural things. Just like what Sadhu Sundar Singh has said, that we need the Holy Spirit to read the natural, the world of nature that God has created. He called that the second Bible, the nature. As you look at nature, you could see the handiwork of God and interpret it. Like for example, the water vapor going up is like our prayers going up. The clouds forming is like the answered prayers coming down, and the rain coming down is like the answers coming down, the showers. So each representation, there is some. We need the same Holy Spirit who in the book of Genesis created this world with God's spoken word. It's the same Holy Spirit who also reveals to us the laws of nature and reveals to us the hidden truths that are there. So that when the Bible compares the devil to a snake, there are some qualities of snake that you can realize that it's a picture of what the devil is like. So there are pictures in the Bible and pictures in nature. However, they all have to be in line with the written word. And so concerning all things, then the next part it says, N is true. There will be something on your inside that vibrates, resonates whenever truth is spoken. So how do you tell when something is true or not true? With truth or not truth? I listen to my inside to see whether my inside says Amen. If my inside doesn't have an Amen sound, Amen sense, not really a sound, but a sense, it's something reaching out unto God. To help those of you who are not quite sure what it feels like, it's something like Luke 24, when the two disciples were on the way to Emmaus, and as Jesus was teaching them the truth and expounding in verse 27 the scriptures to them, they said, after Jesus has left, they said in verse 32, did not our heart burn within us? Now something was happening in their life, although Luke chapter 24, 45 is not taking place yet, but a measure of that is already starting. You can see that as he teach them, there was something being drawn out of them. And I'm just using that as an illustration to show that something like that, like your heart being drawn into it, like you know that it matches. It is just like I could wear away a nice colored suit, and then I come up and I wear a zebra striped shirt, very dark thick stripes, about 2 inches thick, with a polka dot tie. You will know it's a mismatch. How do you know? Have you analyzed how you know it's a mismatch? What makes you think it's a mismatch? Is it somebody told you? On what comparison are we? What ruler do we use? It's quite hard to define that also. But there's some natural sense on your inside to know that it just doesn't match. It will be just like a businessman in three-piece suit going to his board meeting in a chakia, right? Or clocks. We know that something just doesn't go together. And so we realize that there's some natural sense of what we call appropriate. And so that is what it's like in the spiritual. That there's something on our inside. When you read a book, when you hear something taught by any preacher, on your inside is a sense of God-given sense that says, this is right, this is not right, this is right, this is not right. However, our intellect can try to out-argue the anointing within. That is how deception takes place. We can out intellect ourselves, we can intellectual ourselves and convince ourselves not to listen to the anointing inside and miss out on God.